The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports. Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
That's the voice of Russell Dorsey joining us here on Rahimi and Harris. He said, I have something else to get to. What do you want to get to, Russ?
Can we define a thirst trap? Because I feel like in today's day and age,
oh my goodness,
we just label anything.
Can you tweet
trap.
Out that picture? Tell Russell what you said in the pre-show meeting today.
I was like, oh, Russ posted a thirst trap this morning on the gram.
It wasn't a thirst trap.
Russ, you have an eight pack.
Right, but that's a progress photo.
Check these out. See these? See these, boys? This is what I live with every day. I lather this up with Kiehl's in the shower.
I don't think it's bad to post a progress photo on my Instagram, and I don't think it's fair to call it a thirst trap. I chose the pants that I had on in the picture for a reason, because they were black. If I came through in that IG story with gray, that would be a thirst trap.
Like the gray sweats?
Exactly.
The way
there was a reason I chose what I chose.
For people who don't understand what gray sweats and the implication is when you say gray sweats and put on gray sweats, how would you explain that to the listener?
No. I can do it.
It just now entered the control room.
There shows more
definition?
Dump them.
Definition?
Can I say that?
No!
I can't say that. Mitch, I'm sorry if you get a call from the FCC.
Watch your pants.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We broadcast live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Rahimi and Harris, Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi.
Not a meaty version of the show today, though, is it?
We got a shorty today because we got Cubs baseball for you at 11:30. Ray Diaz is our producer, so is Robbie Triano. Yeah, that was also wild.
That's a great drop. That's a great drop.
All of that was unhinged.
Meat.
We have Brandon Fryer helping out as well. We also have our Twitch crew. Join us on Twitch, Chicago 670 The Score, twitch.tv is the prefix, and that is Connor O'Donnell, Jenna Duddleston, and Matt Anaya as we get ready for also a Bears OTA today where we don't think we're going to hear from Caleb Williams.
I mean, he could talk today, right? That could be a quick pivot.
I would hope so, and the reason I think this is an issue is because of this. That article that came out from Seth Wickersham, a lot of people consider, okay, it's old news, whatever, he's here now. Either way, the things that were said in the article when it came to how he felt alone, when you know how they finished last year winning only 5 games, when you know that they lost 10 straight, when you know that this is a new head coach, when you know that there's a lot that's happened in between now and then, when you know your dad said, and a lot of us have said it, that Chicago is a place where quarterbacks go to die. You were by yourself watching film. You didn't want to be here. The closer it gets to the season, every single day that Caleb Williams doesn't just nip this in the bud and address it and then move on so he can focus on the season, the worse it is. I want to address something if I'm the leader immediately. Hey, guys, I'm here. Yes. You know, this is a book that is coming out. I think you know how I feel about the city. I want to be here. I spoke to 2 high schools over the weekend. I am very excited about the change that has taken place. Let's go. That's what a leader does. So I sincerely hope that what we've heard about reports that he is not expected to speak today changes so that way everybody can move past this. Because as long as you don't speak, this is out there. It's not like this is a court case where people don't have to speak because of lawyers or something like that. This is a book that they knew was coming out. So if that's the case, then go ahead and address this in a positive manner that shows everybody in your actions. This happened. I am here. Let's go to work. Not doing that sends, I think, a bad message. So many times during the Ryan Pace administration, for example, I found myself saying, if you don't control your own narrative, it's left to people like us. And it's left to the public.
It's not just people like us. It's more about the general public, the nation at large. Everyone saw the story now. Everybody knows what happened. And I'm pretty much good with everything that was in the story because it takes us through a little bit of a behind the curtain look at what happened with Caleb Williams and his family leading up to the NFL draft, including probably the most pivotal point is when he went to Hallis Hall, met with the Bears organization, the people in charge, Ryan Poles and company, Kevin Warren, I'm assuming, George McCaskey even, and they said, we're going to make you the number one overall pick, and here's why we think this can work, and here's why this won't be a place where you come and die as a quarterback. And then he went back to his dad, who was ready to, quote unquote, nuke the city, whatever, however you want to put it. Those are his words, not mine, to Seth Wickersham in that book that's forthcoming in the month of September. And he said, no, Dad, I can handle it. I accept this challenge. I am going to take the challenge in front of me, eat this piece of paper. If the message self-destructed, whatever happened, he went forward fully knowing what Chicago had been to quarterbacks of the past, but said he could be one to make a difference. Now, it didn't go that way in his rookie year, which is noted in the article. The biggest thing that I had an issue with was him studying film alone, and we can dissect, and we have dissected, whether that was on him, whether that was on the organization,
now,
whatever.
Hold on. You're bringing up a lot of points here, and I think they deserve to be addressed individually.
And we will. But what I'm saying is, overall, after all that has happened, now we're at the point where, okay, it's out there, the information that this happened. The Bears may very well have been like, we're on a plan where he's not going to speak until the actual mini camp, the mandatory mini camp. That's cool, but guess what? You can pivot, and you as the quarterback, the franchise quarterback, the 1-1 of the Chicago Bears can say, I think this needs to be talked about. I want to set the record straight. I want to make sure that everybody understands where my heart, soul, and mind is on this specific issue and that it is in the rearview mirror. And you could do that with the local media. You could do that with the national media, however you choose to do it. But you got to do it, and you got to do it sooner rather than later.
And the fact of the matter is we do still talk about how Eli Manning wanted to avoid playing for the Chargers. We do still talk about what happened with John Elway. The top pick, the first overall pick of the Bears, the team in the number three market in the country, didn't want to be here. You bet your ass we're going to talk about it.
The difference, but though, the is that...
Now, hold on. I'm we just are going to talk about it, and the quarterback should, too. And you do it today because that's your first opportunity, so you can work on the rest of the season.
I don't want to just lump it in with the Elway and the Manning thing because those guys got their way, and they got out. Caleb said, no, I will go to the Bears. That's the biggest difference between those two stories and this particular
story.
Yeah,
which is why he should speak today. Because then what are we talking about? We're talking about what he says about it, not this article. And that's the difference. So as long as that doesn't happen, this is what occurs. And again, things happen to you. How are you going to address them? But this didn't just happen to him. This is something where he and his dad willingly brought Seth Wickersham, the author of a book, on with them. We heard Seth say that last week. He's with them. They knew what was coming. This wasn't some secret. This wasn't some narrative they had to fix. They were the narrative. They knew this was going to be out there. So tell us what you think. You want to avoid us while we sit here and listen to all of this? Knowing that this was still something on your mind? Knowing you didn't sign your contract until July? Knowing you didn't want to go through those medicals at the combine? And I actually think that's a good thing for many reasons. But the point is all of these things can point to evidence that you didn't want to be here. So tell us so that way you can focus on the rest of the season and so can we.
I think we're still going to focus on the rest of the season eventually, but I think the longer that this lingers and hangs over him, the more it can be talked about. You're completely right when you talked about the narratives. The narratives out there are many, right? Everyone's got their own lens through which they look at the story. My issue is for Caleb Williams, he has a perfectly good, reasonable opportunity today at OTAs, to go ahead and set the record straight. Just set the record straight. No one has to assume anything.
Well, also the difference is I don't owe the Bears anything. They don't owe me a damn thing. So I'm here because we want to address this because it is out there. We want to address this because fans keep talking about it. And for the people who have a problem with us questioning things, I question stuff every day from 10 to 2 and then in the future. So if that's an issue for you, nobody is forcing you to listen either. But in these cases, when you have the power to go out there and change this story, again, you do it. You do it on the day that is the one you have in front of you because you need to focus on your new head coach, on your new offense, on your new team so everybody knows where you are with this. Because if it really isn't an issue, you say, yeah, guys, it happened, but I want to be here and I'm here right now talking to you.
It's really that simple. That's the part.
That's what a leader and a QB1 does.
It's really that simple, and it could be so simple, but you'd rather make it hard. Loving you is like a battle.
Unless a lawyer tells me not to say something, let's figure out a way to say it in a productive manner.
But we both end up with scars. I get it. Listen, I want Caleb Williams to be in the best position going forward to continue his career in a better way than what we saw in his rookie season, where he was obviously feeling some type of way, and understandable. And I think we understand it. I think the fans understand it. I think his teammates understand it. I think Ryan Poles understands it, which is why he went out and did all the things he did, including, you know, making official that Joe Tooney's going to get an extension. That's the latest news out of Hallis Hall. But in order to move on past this, you have to address it so then it can be something fully in the rearview mirror.
And to people texting in, I get it. I get why you're bothered. Like, your take on Caleb Williams is lazy. The record's already been set straight by Seth Wickersham. No, it hasn't, because this is new. So now that this is new, then it's on the part of the person we talk to set it straight. That's how it works when you want to actually collect information authentically. You go to the source himself. You talk to the author, and then you want to talk to the person who's available. Can be available as early as today. If anywhere else you saw this story where the first overall pick didn't want to come to the team and he hadn't spoken, if this were in any other city, you would have an opinion about this that was different. But because it's the team you cheer for, you want to try to agree with them. And I'm not here for that today.
Agree with who? Who do you think they want to agree with?
Authority?
Nah, you question authority always.
We do. That's why we're here.
Always question authority, especially when the track record is what it is with this particular organization, which I understand they're trying to change, and I'm with that.
This is an easy fix.
This is a layup. It's a layup.
This hour is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. When I heard that, I thought to myself, the best way to try to fix it is by talking today and to move forward. And then you actually are. But until that happens, it's not like we're going to forget. We are in the media in the city of Chicago. We know that that story came out last week. And the next time that you're available, later, whenever, you're going to get asked about it.
This is an abbreviated edition of Raheemy and Harris. We're talking about Caleb Williams and the fact that players are scheduled to speak today at Hallis Hall as part of OTAs. But Caleb apparently is not scheduled to speak as of now. We think that he should speak, say his piece on the forthcoming book and the quotes that were collected for that book by Seth Wickersham, Biography of a Quarterback, because he talked in that book about all the dysfunction and the fact that, one, he did not want to play for the Bears. Two, he connected with Kevin O'Connell in a way which he wished he could play for him. And three, once he did become the quarterback of the Bears and decided, yes, I do want to play for this organization, I do want to be the first overall pick in a Chicago Bears hat on draft night in Detroit, he ended up watching film by himself with no guidance. Those are his words, not mine.
And that would be a question I would want to ask. What is the film process, right?
What was it last year? What is it now?
What is happening right now? Like, what is that film process right now? What are you doing to help with that? What have you learned about the season where you feel like you need to say something? Also, if your dad is speaking in the public, you bet we're going to ask you about this. That's how it works. You're an adult. You have agency.
I was thinking about it the day that this all broke, right? And Seth Wickersham, I was like, what are the top three questions I would ask Caleb Williams if we had him right now on this show? And number one would certainly be, I need you to explain the film thing to me. I want to make sure I'm understanding what you did not get that you were looking to get. And what was the communication like between you and the coaches? That's like the number one thing for me. It's the number one thing.
All of it. All of it. You ask the individual that is being talked about by his parent in a national story, all of it. You don't just take anybody's word for it unless it's that actual person. And that's why this is so important. And it's even more important to do it as soon as you can so you can focus on the main thing, which is getting better and proving all of this wrong next season and proving the Bears right in the decisions they made to make sure it doesn't happen again. and that this isn't the place where quarterbacks go to die. Tell me all day how this is, how you're going to make it different. Show me and tell me how this isn't going to be the place where quarterbacks go to die, because you know it. You said it too. Your family did.
I think all of Chicago is in unison in believing the number one reason that's not going to be the case is two words: Johnson and Ben, and not in that order.
And I appreciate Karen 708. Not only should we allow Caleb to tell his side of the story, he should want to tell his side.
That's the bottom line here, and you have an opportunity to do it. And what I'm saying is, if the Bears as an organization have said, okay, this is who's going to speak today, and yeah, Caleb, we'll have you speak at the minicamp next month. My thing is, Caleb could easily tell them, hey, I want to address, you know, what's going on out here. Let me speak today.
And even Caleb knows how to address a narrative. He did it with the offensive line when he called it a stupid answer or a stupid discussion.
Stupid.
So I know you can, but every day that it gets closer to game one of the season against the Vikings is a day that's more inconvenient. Not just for us, but for you and your football team.
Hmm. Yeah, I understand some people don't care about this story. They're just happy to cheer for the Chicago Bears.
No, you can yell at me all you want, because I don't care either.
But the thing is, Caleb should just be like, you know what? I said what I said. I was scared about coming here. The concerns I had were real, but I love being here. I love the city of Chicago. I love their fans. And then we're all like, all right, we're going to throw all that away, and we love you, Caleb. He could do all of that today, and that's where it's like, why do that in a couple weeks? You could just do that
Robbie,
today.
I don't think he can say what you just said, because people are going to be like, yeah, you say that, but you literally didn't want to come here. And it'd be one thing if he didn't want to come here, and that article ended with the quotes about the Kevin O'Connell and all that stuff. But it's the quote about what actually happened last year with the film study that's going to be the one that people are going to be following up on, because that's after he decided that, yes, I will come and be a Chicago Bear. And then the reality was realized that, oh, this is bad.
But for this me, is your first overall pick since 1947, and he didn't want to be here.
But if I'm Caleb Williams, I'm using this as an opportunity for, like, PR. It's yes. So that's why, like, the film stuff, like, that can be addressed. But this is my opportunity to be like, you know what? I love the city of Chicago. I love the fans. I want to play here. What I said is what I said. I had concerns, but I want to be here.
Yeah,
that's
we
what
know
I'd use
how,
that for.
We know how he can say it, but here's the issue is right now the headline is you're not speaking after this story came out.
I don't think he can use the media to his favor.
That's
what I think he's doing.
That's what I've been saying.
Yes, exactly.
I think we can all agree this is
there's a
proactive, PR layup.
There's a proactive way to say this, and then you come out as a leader and you again prove who you are and that you're QB1 and this is why and how. But until then, it sits with us. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score. We do five on it. Talk Cubs, White Sox, and more next.